So what did we just say just before that?
Yeah, you said that you recognised, that you were saying that the first step is to
recognise
what's
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
And I was interested when you said you had this urge to do something.
No, that's a long story as well, because 2 years ago, 18 months ago, I went to my doctor for some reason or other, and you get... Anyway, I... No, I wasn't feeling good. But anyway, he wasn't back, so I had a, checkup with a stand-in doctor,
mm-hmm.
young Asian lady,
mm-hmm.
felt my stomach, and she says, I'm phoning the emergency rooms, you're going in there right now.
Mm.
Did a CT scan, x-ray, and an MRI to see what's wrong with my stomach, because it's so sensitive.
Right.
Didn't think much more of it. I was on some herbal stuff, which I thought the doctor prescribed, which in hindsight, I don't think was the right stuff. Anyway, a year later, I went in for a sciatic problem.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there, because anyway, it's 2 days a week. He was there, saw somebody else, and then I didn't know what it was, just had this pain in my back, kidneys and everything, all that in there. So they said, let's just do a blood test in case you got a kidney infection.
Yeah.
So lo and behold, I go back again for the checkup for the results of the blood test, and I see the same doctor again. She feels my stomach and says, you got to go to hospital. And at that point, something along the line said to me, hey, maybe this tender stomach I've had my whole life
mm-hmm.
is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly now I'm tuning into my chest and my stomach and I'm actually picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there all along, but you know when they say you meditate?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you feel it? How do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. Now I'm realizing it's in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So it was those two hop trips to hospital that made me think maybe what I've got is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've been tuning into. So sitting and in situations like in the singing and all that, I can feel I'm getting a bit tense. This is not normal. Shouldn't be that way. And connecting with that.
Mm-hmm. And when that happens, when you feel that the sensation that you're getting, like the urge to interview, how do you then
I ground myself.
And what techniques do you use?
Oh, I could use anything. I could just be looking at the wall, looking at the colours, listening to the sounds, and just switching off. Finding an external point.
An external point.
Yeah.
So that can be any of your senses. You can be looking at something.
You
can be listening at something.
Yeah.
You can be feeling your feet on the ground.
Yeah.
All
any,
of those.
Any of those things, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
And what do you notice when you do that?
Well, then I can drop it off. That starts to switch off that anxiety or whatever you want to call it, to make the other person feel safe and connected, I can just switch that off. And I can also say to myself, she didn't ask me, it's not my problem.
Okay, so and that's your logical side.
That's my logical side. Yeah, you know, if somebody doesn't ask me, it's not my responsibility to fix it.
If someone doesn't ask me, it's not my responsibility to fix it. Because one of the things that I noted last time was is that you love fixing things.
Yep, yep.
You've got a brain that can find very novel solutions for things. And so that's one of your strengths. And so you're having to at times say, they haven't asked me to fix this.
No. But that doesn't work with my wife. She'll be carrying the tray up and she says, can't you see I'm battling? And I say to her, if you need a hand, ask me.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, as I said that, I just realized it's the, can't you see, it's the tone and the that's saying you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I'm recognizing as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So on that score, they'll bring me up to today's notes.
Yeah.
What I've done in the past, all my years, is I've just let it go.
Yeah.
And I think what's happened then is it's actually built up year after year without realizing it.
Yeah.
So what happens now is I'm now... standing up to those.
Yeah.
And we had one this week, quite a heated discussion last week. And but it's like, on one hand I want to be compassionate because she's got cancer. On the other hand, I can't let her override me.
No. You can't let her override you.
No, I have to stand up.
You do.
Yeah.
You've got needs as well.
Yes.
And
thank you. Actually, I'm glad I'm recording that, because that's something I missed. I've got needs as well.
You have needs.
I have needs, and they need to be accepted.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you, Maggie. That is something I need to put in my... I have needs as well.
Mm.
And I mean, the other day she said to me, what's wrong with you? And I thought, it's not helpful at all.
Mm.
I sort of raised my voice. What's wrong with you? I said, well, yeah.
Mm.
I can't remember how I answered that. But it was, I don't know if I mentioned last time as well, I've realized that, I use the word narcissistic, but coldness, the emotional coldness is prevalent in the whole family except for the son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I talked about it last week or not?
Norman,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really in there.
You said that you connected with him.
I connected with him, yeah. Now, I want to connect with him more often because when things go wrong, for example, I want somebody I can talk to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you about that because obviously that's part of my purpose, but who else would you feel able to talk to?
You can have a quick read through this because... this is the notes that I gave Luann. This is a quick read. It should be okay. Quick read. I gave Luann and Helen to talk about when Helen Luann was there.
That's a lot.
So, but I told you Luann's reply.
No.
Does that sound like a reasonable...
It sounds like someone who's showing their vulnerability and being very clear about the fact that they have needs too and they're trying to take the best step forward.
So what happened there was Helen, Luann and myself, actually there's two parts to this. The first part is Luann's reaction to that was...
And just remind me who Luann...
Luann is Helen's daughter.
That's right, who lives in Singapore.
Lives in Singapore, yeah. Luann's reaction was that, I'm very sorry for you. You should have been man enough to sort out the conflicts. It's not Helen's fault. She's old, she's not going to change. I suggest you find somebody good and sort yourself out.
Mm.
And I thought, going to back to my narcissist notes, tick, 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 tick. It's not my responsibility. I'm not going to change. You've got to sort yourself out. It's all your fault. So it was the right answer, but not what I wanted.
Mm.
It was so clear at the point I realized that. So what happened now is that this last week, something happened and this came up between Helen and myself. And I said, can you not understand? I was looking to make a connection with Luann so we can talk about what's happening.
Yeah.
And Helen said, oh, the letter was territory. What is she? Something along the line that was so accusational or something like that. You didn't word it properly. You should have changed this. And I thought, but can't you understand? I might have the wrong words. But my idea was to connect,
mm-hmm.
and we ended up going down that line. And then, I realized Helen cannot go to that. She can't connect on that level.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be my fault somehow. And the end result was, what's the matter with you? And then that's when I said, well, this is, you know, I got quite loud, quite vocal in replying. But I have to say, afterwards, I felt like my body said that was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You needed to stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You needed to make your needs, as you said over there. I needed to make my needs met.
Mm-hmm.
But the strange thing is, I don't know whether this is, I don't know if you can validate this or not, but it's almost like when you catch, I'll use the word narcissist, I hate using that, but I'll use the word, when you catch a narcissist out, it doesn't sink in. It's sort of, it's like water on a duck's back, it just floats off.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no... nothing after it, you know, this... nowhere does she come back after it. The conversation with her, that wasn't very wasn't very comfortable. Can we talk about it again? We'll never, ever go down that line.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's finished, over, we move on.
Mm-hmm.
So, that puts me into the, where I've got my notes for today, is that... you're right, I have needs, I've got to stand my ground.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I need to be very careful that I don't... that I stand my ground kindly, but firmly and kindly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I have softened, because Helen had her blood tests done, and we saw the nurse, the specialist nurse yesterday, something 15 marker, it's the cancer marker or something like that. It's actually quite high, it's supposed to be below 75 as long. 2,000 or whatever it is, so that's quite high. And what's also happened is the liver tests have come back quite, they have increased as well.
Right.
So I'm looking at these results now. I'm looking at these results and I'm realizing that this is now, the liver is actually starting to, how much time is left?
Mm-hmm.
This is not, she's only had one treatment of this new drug.
Mm-hmm.
My gut feeling is that this is really, it's not going to, I think she still thinks it might fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But my feeling is it's not going to fix it. It's just, might give her a few more months. How many more months, I don't know. Because originally I told you it's between 6 and 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be giving her a bit more time, but the side effects from this was actually for about 10 days she was pretty crook.
Mm-hmm.
But then she came right.
So for 10 days she was quite crook. In what
bilious,
way?
Bilious, bit loose, really, really tired. Yeah, not. But then she bounced back for the last week and she was quite normal again. But the blood, the liver results are quite poor. So my gut feeling is they're going to just carry on getting worse as time goes on until that stops working. So now I'm thinking now, so how much... at least, I think at this particular point, I seem to have discharged a lot of my emotions and bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I feel I'm a little bit, recognizing this, I feel a bit safer now, I'm a bit more...
okay, you feel safer.
I'm feeling a bit more connected to myself, and
yes.
I can now provide a bit more support.
That's such, I'm going to store that, because connected to yourself... because what I'm hearing, but as always, if I've misunderstood, then remind me. But what I'm hearing is you've done such a lot of work.
Thank you. Yep.
On yourself.
Mm.
And what you've been looking for is for that nurturing that you never got as a child.
Mm.
And you've done all that child work, because you were telling me about forgiving yourself as a child. But it's needing that ongoing nurturing. But from what you've just said, the connection to yourself, it sounds like you're in a better place to almost nurture yourself. Is that right?
Both myself and Helen as well.
And then, and that, because what I always, what I heard last time and what I'm hearing this time, your values is, the nature of your relationship with Helen is almost irrelevant. You are kind and you know what she's going through.
Mm.
And you know that her life is limited, and you want to continue to be that kind person as much as possible within the boundaries that you need for your own nurturing.
Yeah, that's really well put, actually. Yeah. Part of me says, hurry up and get this over. So the other part of me says, no, I've got to sit in this. What am I going to learn? What am I going to... I'm going to come out through this more rounded, more compassionate, more whatever it is.
Yeah.
But shit, it's not something I'm looking forward to.
No.
I mean, when she's weak and, you know, weak in bed and can hardly move, that's going to be really, really difficult.
That is going to be difficult for all of you, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. But you see, now this is the really hard part, is that, I mean, the two sisters and the daughter, I'd love to be able to be sharing this with them.
And is that Helen's sisters, is it?
Yeah, Helen's sisters, yeah. They're the same. Same as Helen.
Yeah. So you would like, and you talked before about living in the community, which is where you met Helen, I think, wasn't it? Is that right?
Sorry? I was in the commune.
In the commune,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you're saying you would prefer to be doing it in the same team?
With the same, yeah, with a group of people, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, potentially, I'd love to be connecting. I mean, I'd love to be able to phone her daughter and say, the results weren't bad yesterday, what is happening? You know, let's just be able to discharge this and work on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I won't go there at all.
No. Because you've tried to connect.
I've tried. The sister, man, this is really frustrating. The one sister works for hospice. And I thought, you know, this is quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a few WhatsApps backwards and forwards and I just got cut off one day and I thought, I just wrote back and I said, you know, you've just, something along that line, you've just cut me off at the legs. I wanted to talk to you. And I don't even know if I got a reply for that. The second sister, I tried to talk to as well, backwards and forwards, and it was like, they just won't go to connecting with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Won't go there.
And possibly they can't. For
they can't.
Reason.
No, they can't. Mm. They can't.
Mm.
And then I heard an interesting one, which I've never heard of before, because Norman, I've met Helen's mother. She's quite a nice old lady. She would have been 70s when I met her, 65, 70.
Was this back in South Africa?
Yeah, back here. She's a nice, kind old lady, and the father was a bit of a stickler. He was a bit of like, this is the way it is, you know? So you kind of accept that. But then Norman said the other day, too, was that Helen's mother. I don't quite know how it came up. He just says, you don't cross her.
Right.
She'll bite you. This is not what I've seen.
Right.
But kind of now makes a bit more sense.
It does make a bit more
sense. Yeah.
Mm.
I have a funny feeling that Helen is, I think the word is anxious avoidant.
Right.
She wants to connect.
Mm.
Yeah. But as soon as you get close, this is dangerous. I'm getting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I, my
mm-hmm.
that's my understanding of it all. So
mm-hmm.
when you try and connect, let's get out. It's not safe.
Mm.
So she will never ever come from the point of view of trying to connect. It's like you've left the toilet seat up or you've done something wrong. That's the entry to
mm-hmm.
making a connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which understandably feels like more criticism
yeah.
from your perspective.
Yeah.
Mm. Gosh, what a lot of that is. Does your mind ever switch off at all?
No, it doesn't. This I wrote, I mean, I'm on a forum the other day too. I've probably got about 3,000 hours in this.
But that's huge, but it's for me, it's the insight and the progression that I'm seeing.
Mm.
We can all, you know, read stuff, spend
mm.
an awful lot of time, mm. but you're intentionally deciding on what has worked and what is working and the direction of travel that fits with your value system.
All my counsellors, all my life counsellors, that's exactly what they say about me.
Right.
The one says, she gives people homework and they come back the next week and tells what happened. I'm the other way around. I come back to her and say, this is what I've done, this is what I've done. She says, oh, I better take some notes down.
Mm.
Both of them. The two of them that I had over there, they were basically almost like, right, what are we going to learn today?
Yeah, yeah. And that's that's really, it's a privilege to
mm.
to have that as a counsellor. Because the other thing that I was thinking about when I was looking at the notes, Wallace, is that such a lot has happened. And there was a small part of me that wondered, especially with what you experienced when you were young and everything, it's almost like if you could, you'd like to rub that out. Is what it felt to me, but I don't know what you feel. Almost like some of what you experienced without the emotion was so hard that you would like to be able to correct it completely or heal from it or how. No, you tell me then.
Right. Okay. You mentioned you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm happy for that part to. You can discuss it on that level as well,
yeah.
if you want to. So it's kind of like, I kind of feel that some things were done incorrectly in the past.
Okay.
And I've learned a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
And God says, well, I'm still working on you, and this is what's going to come out.
Right.
So I don't ever look back and say, I don't want to erase it.
Perfect.
Because it's like Job or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
This is, there's a reason behind this.
This is your growth.
This is my growth.
Beautiful, thank you.
But I also think that the only outcome from this whole process is, I think, what people call a spiritual awakening. I think there's going, for me, I feel the spiritual awakening is when you finally put it all to bed.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the spiritual awakening, all you've got is coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
That make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And you are in that process of that spiritual awakening.
I'm in that process,
awakening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Because as you've said, you've had coping mechanisms all your life.
Well, that was one of the things in one of the forums over there. This guy called Stuck Nuts, and he's talking about, you know, and people are writing on there, and I'm actually talking to these, sometimes within the forum and sometimes offline.
Yeah.
They're talking about, I'm stuck, you know, what do I need to do? And
yeah.
I was busy writing that thingy today, my reply, I haven't posted it yet. And I'm saying, it's no good. I've had coping mechanisms all my life. Because if I didn't, I would be in a pile.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it was work, whether it was friends, or whatever it is, I've had coping mechanisms. It's finally getting to the point now where I've got nothing left. I have to address what was broken right in the beginning. So getting to safe spaces, or whatever you want to call it, or grounding yourself, doesn't fix anything. It just gets you from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to now find out why you're triggered in the first place. So, adding to that now is that, yeah, I might not have, I've never learned, well, from what I can see now, I didn't learn to regulate, or the way I regulated as a child, or whatever you want to call it, wasn't correct. And I've still now got to try and fix that. Well, I think I can learn to fix that.
Well, you are fixing it.
I'm fixing it, yeah.
You're in that process of
fixing
it.
Yeah.
And one of the other things I remember that you said to me last time was that, that perfectionism was one of your coping strategies, almost, to be perfect at everything that you did, I think you said.
No, I've just had that. I don't know whether it was that or not. I've just had that in my lift course.
Yeah.
And they gave us a lecture, and I went through the bits and pieces on there, and I realized, yes, it is. I am a perfectionist in some areas,
right,
but not everywhere.
Yeah.
So where it needs to be, I am.
Yes.
And in other areas, I'm not.
Brilliant.
So it's balanced.
So where it needs to be. So
yep.
Again, it's intentional.
It's intentional.
Yeah.
When I put a race motorbike engine together,
yeah,
I can remember tightening the bolt that's right inside there. I've got the process, and I need to do that, because when I'm on that bike or somebody else is on that bike, I need to know it's correct. I can't think, you know, did I or didn't I tighten that bolt up? I know I have. So in that particular case, I'm a perfectionist in that area. Hyper-focused perfectionist is correct.
Yeah.
But if you go and look at my office, it's a mess. And I don't care.
No, that's perfectly fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So that's the amount of understanding and insight and knowledge into the complexity of who you are continues to develop.
Yeah.
And the really big thing that, you know, I'm hearing today is it's more than that insight, it's defining the path forward and knowing that you have needs, but you're also a kind human being.
Thank you.
And so you will do what is the right for you to do.
Mm.
And then you're also at the same time recognizing when you're on hyper alert to try and make everything okay for everybody and recognizing to let that go.
Mm.
Gosh, that's huge.
Well, I mean, I'm doing this, I don't know how many hours a week, every day, virtually.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if I mentioned to you, I read it the other day. Do you know Pat Ogden?
I know the name, but I can't think why.
Somatic.
Actually, I watched a video of hers the other day. Yeah.
And I found another one as well too, and these two are mind-blowing, because it really explained when I had my, what I call freeze.
Mm.
It's when animals, this is the way they interpreted, when an animal's about to be killed by a lion, the freeze basically says it cuts off everything, so they don't actually feel.
Yeah.
About that's really what I had.
Yeah.
So I'm not in this process now because I chose.
Yeah.
I had no choice.
Yeah.
So in one way it's like, if God wanted to get me on this path, get my mind upside down, doesn't know what's going on, and then I'll look at it and fix it.
Yeah.
But so I seem to have had my mind being attacked rather than my body, or mind and emotions, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Helen, in some ways, I actually thought that with the cancer that she might look at things differently, but I don't think that's worked at all. And I actually don't hold any hope that that's ever going to change.
And she has not wanted to see a counsellor at all or talk to someone?
She sees one, but it's about the practical process.
Right.
Take these tablets, do that, do the other. Talking about emotions don't come into it, not at all.
Mm.
She's had, I think, a 20 second cry with me once the other day when she's feeling a bit down.
Mm.
She says, no, get up, let's get on, let's move on, I've got to get things to do now.
Mm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what I realized the other day too is I'm just going to do things like maybe take her to lunch or something like that, just do little things
mm-hmm.
that she enjoys doing.
And she likes, and she would like going out for lunch, would she?
It does, yes, I know, but I mean, in my mind, it's. It's not addressing the issue, it's just making her feel good.
Yeah.
But that's all I can do.
It is what you can do.
And that's all that she really wants at this, she's not asked for anymore.
Mm-hmm. And so you know you can do that and she hasn't
okay.
asked for anymore. And
no.
It makes her feel good.
Yeah, it makes her feel good, yeah.
And at this time, when what she's going through, she will want to have little pockets where
little
she
pockets
can feel good.
Yeah.
Little pockets.
You see, I'm completely the opposite. I want to go and dig in there and find out and
yeah.
sort that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was dying now, I'd be sitting with all my people that I've known for my whole life, and I'd go through the list and saying, this is what's happening. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Off I go. That's what I would be doing.
Yeah. You'd be dealing with all the emotions, all the thoughts, and making sure that you tied up all the loose ends.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I've even got a video of myself in... Porto, after my walk. Yeah.
After the Camino.
Yeah, I was just staying in Porto, just saying, and I've got it on my phone there, but I might never come here again. You know, I just want to remember what I've done over here, what I've enjoyed.
Mm.
It's really an emotional connection with that space at that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because I might never go there again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to lose that.
No, you don't want to lose that.
I was just driving through town the other day too, and I just thought, I hate to be thinking I'll be driving through this town for the last time. That's me though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's you. That's right. And she's obviously different and got different coping strategies and that kind of stuff. And last time when we talked about it, we scaled things a little bit.
Mm.
And I think you said 4 out of 10. Correct me if I'm wrong. I said, how do you feel with all the way life's going? And I think you said when you get up some mornings, it's not great.
Mm.
You go out, you have a run, and you get to about 4 out of 10.
Mm.
How do you feel now that you've made?
I think I'm getting 6 or 7s now.
6 or 7s.
Yeah, yeah. No, wow. I think that. However, Maggie, I have to just say that I've been these ups and downs.
Of course.
You know, I could be up now. Next week, I could be down again.
Yeah.
However, we'll just see what it. I mean, I've been up so many times over the last year.
Yeah.
I found the solution. Let's go, and it runs, and then next minute,
yeah,
back down again. However, the using other people as to ground myself, to regulate myself,
yeah. Yeah.
I think is actually quite a big factor.
I think it is a big
yeah.
factor.
That may have been underlying a lot of the stuff in the past, yeah.
Mm.
So we'll see.
So using other people to help your regulation, and then when you're regulated, you have the best opportunities to further develop in the direction you wanted.
Yeah, but that can be quite short though.
Mm.
You know, I could be regulated now, go home. That's the problem that I found. After the Camino, I was really fired up. I was ready to go, do my old projects, got home within 2 days, back to square one again.
So However, that's right. So at least you know, what's good is that you know there's the potential for that.
Mm.
But you recognize that there are times when it will be less easy for you.
But I must say, I don't think I've been really down for quite a while now, for quite a few months. I've had my downs, but they haven't been as bad as they used to be.
That's really nice to hear.
Yeah. So the question is, I mean, a big question now. Where does all of this that I'm talking about and all that, where does it come from in the Bible?
I won't know the answer to that. Much as I have faith, I'm not a biblical scholar.
Because I've got this book on spiritual growth, emotionally, spiritually, and he's going through all the stuff. I can recognize all the stuff he's talking about from my lift course, but it's taken me a year, twice a week, hours and hours to get through this. I don't know how somebody writing one book's going to make a change. This should be in the churches and in the schools.
Well done.
Thank you. So I was hoping for a big answer on that one.
I have failed you totally and utterly. Sorry, can't give a big answer on that one.
Because what I hate though is he uses Job a lot of the times in there about everything was taken away, and then he got things back. But I got to be very careful, because for me, when I read that a lot of the times, I often use it to subjugate myself, give away my power, rather than take responsibility and say, this is where I'm at, what do I need to do now? You know, that's what I find a little bit disappointing. From my perspective in Christianity, it's a very watered down, it's just pray about it, God will sort it out. And I think we need it. This very process I'm going through now is that, you know, God's hand might be in this.
It can walk with me.
But this is a journey This is not a journey. This is not a Sunday, I'm going to pray for you and it's all going to be fixed.
No.
This is a journey that's going to be grit and tears and snot and the whole lot. This is a hard journey.
Yeah.
But the end result is that you become more whole.
You become more whole and you get the flow that you were talking about as well. Mm. Even if it's for periods, you know that it's there. Yeah. Well, well done.
Thank you.
I'm sorry we've got a shorter session.
No, that's okay. That's all right.
Because I've got someone at four. But what I was going to say is you're booked already, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think it's for half two, is it? On the...